Well, in 1974, John Piper's mother died instantly in a tragic bus accident while she and her husband were visiting in the Holy Land. And every year, John Piper has celebrated the memory of his mother on her birthday. And so she turned, he'll say something like, "Oh, my mom is 103 today, having spent the last 47 years with Jesus." And see, Piper has this solid steel confidence in God's word that to be away from the body is to be present with the Lord. Piper said, quote, "I do not know why God took her so early, but the all-wise God has his reasons, and I trust him." Jack Welch, who was chairman and CEO of General Electric for many years, grew up as a devout Catholic. He was an altar boy. Later, as an adult, he would travel an hour every Sunday to go to church. But then his mother died suddenly of a heart attack. And he wrote of his response, quote, I felt cheated, angry, and mad at God for taking my mother away. He says he still believed in God, but now it was from a distance, and he stopped going to church. And it's amazing to me how two people can experience something very similar, almost the same thing, life experience, and yet respond in entirely different ways. Now, I want to be gracious to Jack Welch. I think he's actually now passed away himself. But how is it that one heart closes toward God and the other heart remains open to God? Mysteries of the human heart. And Jesus touches on this in the parable of the sower and the soil. Rob Schermerhorn said, "Oh, is this going to be a dirty sermon?" Yes, it is. We're going to do some soil analysis of our hearts, asking how open, how attentive are we to God's word. So let's look at this from Matthew chapter 13, beginning right where Job began his prayer, verse 1. "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and the great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' He answered them, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Now, we're going to pick up the rest of this passage, the explanation of the parable, a little bit later in the sermon. But Jesus introduces something new here in his teaching. Back in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, Jesus taught just clear, straight-up truth on many things like anger, divorce, prayer, anxiety, loving our enemies. But now he shifts in his teaching to the use of parables. And we think of parables as these earthly stories that illustrate heavenly truths, but that's too simplistic. Parables are warning shots across the bow of our ship. With parables, God is taking up a bigger gun to provoke us, to wake us up, because we are not listening. We have ears, but we're not hearing. So parables leave us scratching our heads, wondering, what did Jesus mean? And that's exactly his intent. And that's what happens with the disciples. You know, verse 10, they're as lost in the weeds as anybody here. Why do you speak to them in parables? As if, you know, somehow they're better, you know, we understand. No, they didn't understand it at all. Why do you speak in parables? And Jesus answers verses 10 through 16. And boy, his answer seems a bit harsh. To you, you disciples, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom, but to them it has not been given. And to the one who has, more will be given, and he who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And then Jesus steps in even deeper. He quotes Isaiah 6 about Israel in the Old Testament, who had hardened their hearts toward God. They refused to listen to God. And so God sent Isaiah on a preaching mission to harden the people even more. People would hear but never understand, see but never perceive, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Wow, that is a hard word. What is this saying to us about our God? You know, we have such an anemic view of God at times. We think of God as in heaven, he's lonely, he's just begging us to turn to him. He's hoping, you know, for a large turnout at church. Oh, goody, 200 people came to worship me today. That's 20 more than last week. I'm a happy God. No, that's not God at all. That's us. God does not need us. He loves us. He wants us near to him, but God does not need our worship or our numbers. And when Jesus says to them, that is to the crowd, it has not been given. You know, first of all, what has not been given? What did the disciples get that the crowd doesn't? Well, very simply, it's Jesus. It's knowing Jesus. The Father has not given Jesus to everyone, and that seems harsh from one angle. We have to let God be God. He is sovereign over who gets Jesus. But, don't miss what's going on, this massive work of grace, even in the giving of these parables. You know, parables are warning signs, but they're gracious warning signs. And when the Lord speaks in parables, he's still speaking. And he's seeking to provoke us, so that our ears would perk up, the alarm would sound in us that, hey, I'm not picking up what God's laying down, and that's a problem. And so that should cause us to then turn to him to say, Lord, what's going on in me that I'm not understanding this? And that's what the disciples do, you see? I mean, they turn to Jesus, and they say, what does this parable mean? But you know, before Jesus tells them what the parable means, He tells them how blessed they are. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. My brothers and sisters, if you get Jesus, if you know Jesus Christ, then you see and you understand what Abraham, Moses, David, Isaiah, Daniel, Malachi, and many others longed to see and didn't. You know the fuller story of God's love and redemption for us in Jesus. How blessed we are. And so if you know Jesus like that, well, don't boast about it as though somehow, you know, you've arrived and you're special. No, you're not. I'm not. Give thanks to God, that he opened, by grace, he opened your eyes and he unstopped your ears to hear and see Jesus. It's all of grace. Well, to his graced, blessed ones, then Jesus explains the parable. The sower went out to sow. Now, the seed is the word about Jesus and the kingdom. And the seed is scattered over four different types of soil. And each soil represents our hearts and how open and attentive our hearts are to God and his word. And so here's the call then to do some soil analysis. How receptive is my heart to God today? Well, the first soil is the heart that has hard soil. And I'm jumping now to verse 18, verses 18 through 23, where Jesus now explains the parable. And Jesus says, verse 18, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path." You know, pathways are hard, packed down because of foot traffic. Paths can't receive the seed because they only receive people walking on them. Well, spiritually, the hard soil heart can't receive God. It, in fact, doesn't even pay attention really to God because it's just attentive to the foot traffic of the world. You know, people, things, good and bad, desires of the body. You know, the focus, though, is this world. And a person with a hard soil heart, you know, that person can sit and worship, sing all the hymns, recite all the verses, but remain unmoved, unchanged toward Jesus. And in that case, Satan, like a bird, steals away the good seed that is sown on the heart. You know, Satan's design, it's not so much to keep us from church, although he does that too, but his design is not so much to keep us from church and exposure to, you know, the seed and good things. No, his design is to keep us from the heart of Christ. That is, from really knowing and hearing and delighting in Jesus Christ. If you are, maybe you're having a bad day and there's a bad sermon, I don't know, you know, we there are excuses, I realize that, but if in your life right now you're in a season and you are just unmoved by Jesus, if the foot traffic of this world means more to you than living a life with Jesus Christ, you have a hard heart and you are in a dangerous place. And I plead with you, turn to God. At least ask him to show you the condition of the soil of your soul and to soften it toward him. The second heart soil is shallow soil. Jesus says, as for what was sown, verse 20, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Interesting, Jesus speaks of joy and pain in this section here. You know, receives it with joy. You know, there's a, oh, I love God's word. I love that hymn. Oh, this was a great day in church, you know. But then when tribulation, when pain, persecution come along, falls away. But interesting, joy and pain. Those are the main categories of those with shallow soil hearts. See, am I happy? Joy. You know, is all well? You know, things are going good for me? Joy. Is life painful? Then I'm out of here. You know, perhaps, maybe not, but perhaps this was Jack Welch, the CEO of GE. He was joyful as long as life was good, but when the pain of his mother's death, unexpected death came, he grew angry at God and fell away. You know, those with good soil, the fourth soil, it's mature faith, joy and pain are categories in life, but they're not the main categories for judging the truth of Christianity and the worthiness of Jesus. You see, mature faith operates out of different categories. Jesus is Lord, and his word is truth. Mature faith keeps looking at Jesus, drawing near to Jesus and trusting his word, especially when the trials come. And they do come. I mean, the heat of the sun and the tribulation, the pain, they come to all the soils. But the mature faith is saying, Jesus, you're Lord here, and I believe, I trust your word. And when we think about pain and tribulation, adversity, those things when they come, they don't really change us. They just reveal what's in us. You know, sometimes people say, yeah, I was a follower of Jesus, but then these bad things happened and it changed me because Jesus didn't help me the way I wanted him to. But the pain and the adversity, the tribulation, that really doesn't change what we believe. It just pulls the cover back on what's already there, what we've been believing all along. And this last year with COVID, we all experienced losses. And for some of us, it was the loss of loved ones. Others, it was loss of friends or income, opportunity, resources. What has loss revealed about the soil condition of your heart? Has your faith withered because your soil is shallow? Or has your faith stood and receive the word, and there's even been fruit, perhaps, because there's a depth in you, and you are deeply rooted in Jesus. Hard soil, shallow soil. The third soil that Jesus describes is thorny soil. Verse 22, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. You know, thorny soil, like shallow soil, seems receptive to God's word. You know, it hears, but there's a problem. It's divided attention. You see, also in there are a bunch of weeds growing, loud weeds. You know, these weeds have voices, and they're full of anxieties. You know, these anxieties, this becomes now the headline news that our hearts pay attention to, and they begin to speak louder than God. And there's the weeds of the lies that we believe, the deceptions that money and stuff, and maybe it's just the opportunities that are out there. That's where our life is. That's where our security is, rather than Jesus, and it chokes off Jesus from producing fruit in us. As you do soil analysis of your heart, is your heart underwhelmed with God because it's overwhelmed by the difficulties of this world, of your life? Is there something that we love and fear losing in this world more than drawing near to Christ? You know, if the truth be told, as you're maybe doing your soil analysis and I'm doing mine, you know, I see all of these soils in me at times. I think if I had to be honest, probably the thorny soil is what I'm wrestling with most right now, of fears, worries, deceptions, wrestling against those. A lot of weeds that I need to work pulling out. But we all have periods of life, don't we, where there's hard, shallow, or weedy soil in us. But so that the life of Jesus is not choked out, so that we produce an abundance of fruit, how can we amend the soil of our hearts and become good soil? I mean, don't we all want to be what Jesus describes, verse 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100, another 60, another 30-fold. How do we get there to be good soil? You know, have that good soil in our hearts. Well, you know, Jesus said the good soil is the heart that hears the word and understands. Now, to hear and understand, this is not merely recognition of words. So, oh yes, we compare it back. This is what was said. It's response to it. You know, if I held out some keys and said, these are keys to a brand new Ford F-150 truck, and whoever is up here first and takes these keys, it is yours, free and clear. Now, you might think, Richard's lying. And just sit there hard. Or you might think, wow, that's really gracious of Richard, and sit there and not respond. But the one who jumped up and grabbed the keys, the vehicle's theirs. I mean, they are the one, and the only one perhaps, that truly heard and understood. Because biblical understanding means response. And responding to Jesus means we trust him, we follow him, we grab the keys, so to speak, of the word, and we live in accordance with that. And so amending the soil of our souls, cultivating good soil, it's not complicated. It's really very simple. It's sticking with Jesus, no matter what. It's what has Christ said? How is he leading me? That's the way I'm going. And even when the heat of tribulation or the anxieties of life threaten to wither and choke our faith, or Satan is hovering, trying to steal away the word, we remain immovable, fixed on Jesus. You know, in amending the soil of our hearts, that there be good soil in us, I love what the disciples did. They came to Jesus and asked him, "What does this parable mean?" And he told them. Well, I think there's a pattern there for us of how do you cultivate good soil in you? Go to Jesus and ask him. Ask him to plow your heart. Ask him to stick the plow of his word, the plow of the spirit, down inside of you and to bust up what is hard and rocky. Ask him to pull weeds and to make your heart deep soil that's fertile and receptive to his word. One of the ways I ask God to plow my heart is in the morning, as I sit down for devotions, before I even really crack the Bible, I pray the IOU's prayer. IOU's prayer. And what's the IOU's prayer? Well, it was actually our call to worship this morning. I mean, pull out your bulletin. Oh Lord, I incline my heart to your testimonies. Oh, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. IOU, unite my heart to fear your name. Kind of a bizarre thing this week. I prepped this call to worship and sent it off and then realized later, oh, I made a typo. Instead of unite, I had untie my heart to fear your name. But you know what? That's a pretty good translation of that maybe, because my heart is tied to so many things of this world. Untie my heart and unite it to you, O God, that I may fear your name, love your name, honor your name. And then IOUS, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad before you all our days. Ask God to plow the soil of your soul that his word may find receptive ground in you. And when our heart soil is good, well, his word comes and it is powerful to produce fruit in us, 160, 30-fold. Now, we think, you know, 30, that's terrible. You know, we want the 100. But hey, 30-fold is still a very super abundant harvest. You know, don't look down on that. Jesus is not. But the power of the word to produce life in us, fruit in us. And what is this fruit? Well, it's the character of Christ, the internal fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's also exterior fruit of good works and evangelism that spreads the good seed of Jesus to others. I wish I should get Tim up here to tell this story here, but he can fill in the details of this. But last night I had dinner with him, and he was telling us about this woman. What was her name? The gal who is looking after your apartment. Rita, okay. So they have an apartment. Of course, they've been run out of China. They've got an apartment there, a condo, and there's a camera that's always watching it. And Rita is somebody that they won to the Lord years ago and just brought into their home and have loved her so well. Well, Rita went to check on the apartment and was arrested. And how long was she interrogated? 4 days interrogated, and the interrogation goes like this. One communist police officer comes in and asks you, you know, hours and hours of questions. He's worn out, and then another one comes in and asks you hours and hours of questions, worn out. Another one comes in, and just, it's relentless for 4 days. I'm trying to break you, you know, get you to compromise or, you know, contradict yourself. Well, they start, you know, these officials are talking about how evil and terrible the Vinzanis are. You know, they're working for the United States government, they're CIA spies, and Rita just kept saying, no, they're not. They're my family. Did they call you mom and dad or something? You know, they said, this is my mom and my dad, my mother and my father. And these communist officials just got angry saying, no, they are not. These are your parents over here. They are Americans. They are not your parents. And she said, but they are. I love them more than I love my own earthly mother and father because they told me about Jesus. They loved me with the love of Jesus. And then Rita was so excited because with all these police officers interrogating her, she got to preach the gospel to them. Talk about the seed spreading in communist China. Pray for that seed. But what's going on with that? We're looking at fruit. As the Vinzanis in the good soil of their heart were loving and speaking the word, showing kindness, bringing this woman into the embrace of their goodness and just their home, she was blessed. And now she is this vibrant witness before interrogators. That's the kind of fruit that comes from the word of God taking root in us. It produces amazing fruit. Christ-likeness, witness. But you know, this fruit is also linked to verse 12. To the one who has more will be given. The one who has more will be given more and will have an abundance. And what Jesus is talking there is not getting more information about Jesus. He is saying, you will get more of me. The growth that comes in our lives is the experience of the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of the love of Jesus Christ for us. This is what the power of the word brings about. Well, how's the soil of your soul? How open and attentive are you to the word of Christ? You know, in one way, you know, it's very easy to beat ourselves up with this passage, isn't it? All I see in my life is hardness, rocks, and weeds. But I want to end with an encouragement, church. And please let yourself be encouraged here. I mean, you're in church, right? And you've been coming to church throughout this COVID season, or maybe you've been watching online. Why? Why are you in worship? Isn't it because you love Jesus? And you want to hear his word? That is an indication of good soil in you. Rejoice. If you've been pushed down by some loss, an illness or setback in life or in your work or your family, you know, maybe you went through a period where you were confused and you were discouraged, but that you didn't walk away from Jesus, that you came to the place of confidence that he is sovereign, he is present with you, and he will work with you in this. That is an indication of good soil in you. Rejoice. Your church, when the world has just been turned upside down with anxiety, I mean, deaths just by overdose were 30% higher in 2020 than the year before. Anxiety is at an all-time high. That's not to say we were not anxious, but when in our anxiety, you turned to the Lord, you sought the Lord, that is a sign of good soil in you. Be encouraged. And that you gave in uncertain times. You didn't pocket your money hoarding it as your ultimate security, but you generously gave it away. That is a sign of good soil in you, in us. Be encouraged. As we come out of COVID, I hope we're an expectant church. Our vision is not that things are going to return to normal. We are expectant of supernatural growth from God, 100, 60, 30-fold, because that's what God brings about out of hearts that receive, believe, and delight in Jesus. And that is where we're going. We may not see fruit overnight, but his word, it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God for life and growth. So receive and trust his word. And then watch Jesus. Amen.